A thing doesn't have to be perfect to be brilliant. Hold on a second, Harlem's happening. Are we? Okay, let's go, here we go. Welcome to Casually Brilliant, a Zooms with Friends Masterclass podcast series. I'm your host, Ebony Janice. Each week for the next several weeks, I will share casual conversations with some of my closest friends and faves on various topics, including race, faith, healing, mental health, music, the metaphysical world, and anywhere else our casual brilliance takes us in the conversation. Today's special guest is Candace Simpson. She is brave and she is hilarious. I'm so glad she's my first guest because our conversation is timely and powerful.
Go ahead and open up the doors of the church. I want to go ahead and start this service with a little devotion. And the devotion is the lyric in my spirit, because I was thinking about talking to you. And for some reason, the lyric in my spirit was, this is for my homies. This is for my homies. Well, well, well. See you when I get there. To that Zoom podcast.
I was giving you backup dances.
My God. Would you pass on a message for me? Candace, welcome to Zooms with Friends.
Hey, Saint.
I would love to actually know, what is the song that's been in your spirit on today?
You don't want to know. So there's this viral meme of this woman who is clearly like somebody's like bishop, pastor, I don't know, but the song is, if God don't do it, it won't get done. If God don't do it, it won't get done. If God don't do it, it won't get done. It's gonna take a miracle. Dun, 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 from God. It's she made this video like months ago, and of course it has become like this viral meme sensation. So people are taking the video and they're making it like as a video reply. So like, oh, my boss isn't letting me take paid time off, and then if God
Well, I have one, because I actually say all the time, if God don't help white people, they won't be helped. And that's my favorite white people and my least favorite white people alike. Sometimes my favorite white people be just doing the most, and I just be like, relax, but they don't be knowing how to relax. And I'd just be like, if God don't help you, you won't be helped. That's all I can do. Like, I can give you the resources and the tools and point you in the right direction to some chill. And if you can't go find it, if God don't do it, it won't be done, huh?
I'm gonna send you the video because it's hilarious. You've not seen this?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my gosh, it's like right up your alley, because it's like just black dramatics. Like, just black people are just so dramatic. Like, it's really good.
I saw somebody remade the Cardi B, come on.
This is real.
Yeah. And, but I'm talking about, okay, so of course there are several, like somebody took it and made it into an actual song. And then this dance troupe made full-blown choreography to it, but it's like
super— I saw that. Yeah.
I love you people and I hate you people at the same time.
Yeah.
God bless you indeed. So in deciding to have these conversations, I really feel like one of the reasons you're actually one of the first people I reach out to, because I have am always following you on the social medias, and prior to us meeting in real life and trying to connect and do hood rat things together in these United States of America, in these New York States of America. But so just have been for a long time appreciating your work and your honesty and your transparency on Twitter. And so lately on Twitter, I found you somewhere between super inspirational and also F this shit, I'm out. And so I felt like that's all of us. And why not have a conversation about that? About how do we be reality about, this interesting time that we're in, and then simultaneously still figure out a way to experience some hope and some joy, you know, because that's necessary. So I would love to just open up the floor by saying, you know, asking, yeah, where are you right now? How are you feeling on today?
You know, I'm here. I think
I can't let that I'm here moment pass.
You know, I just.
I may be black. I may even be ugly.
But I'm here.
But I'm here. Thank God I'm here. Okay, go ahead. I'm here.
I think yeah, this moment is just really revealing a lot of bad stuff that we've been taught, either, you know, like it's revealing what we think about each other, it's revealing what we think about our place in the world, it's revealing about what we think, how we think the world can continue or should continue. So there's like a lot of people who are doing this like woo-woo, like, we were the virus all along, the earth is finally able to cleanse, and I'm like, people died, somebody died, Beverly, like, I was just like, somebody died, and people are going to continue to die, and the world will never be the same. And I just think that there must be a God. If a God exists, there must be one who is like better than us on our pettiest day. I refuse to believe that this is part of some plan to like restart or like, you know, cleanse the earth, because one death is too many. And so I'm really wrestling with that and like struggling with how people are making sense of this moment, because when people talk like that, I'm like, ooh, I don't feel safe, like, because it makes me feel like if you could choose to dispose of me, you might, if you had the option. And of course they would, because these are the, like, people have always been disposing of us. Like, we have always been, and you know, you can put we, there are so many different kinds of we's that have been disposable and like just discardable. So yeah, I'm just sitting with that and also trying to remind myself that this is a marathon, not a sprint. So there's just so much pressure to like shift everything to the internet. I'm like, did y'all ask sis internet if she could hold all that? Because I don't think sis internet can hold all that.
Sis
internet. Oh no.
Already. I went to my favorite 99 cent store today. And it ain't even that it's the best 99 cent store. It's just the one where they call me cousin. So the owners, or I know they're the owners, but I don't know that all three of them are the owners. I know at least one of them is the owner, but it's three Ghanaian men. And we call each other cousin or cuz. And today, the younger one, who has a crush on me, can get me doing the most sometimes. But I let him, because he be letting me get my ritual candles for free. So I'll be letting him crush. But today he came from around the corner little situation trying to hug me. And I was like, we're social distancing, we are not hugging. And he was like, that's not true, that's not real, that's not. And he was like, that's the problem. Y'all don't believe in Jesus. And so y'all don't know that by faith. And I was like, cousin, I don't want to know this about you. I don't want to know that this is what you think with your mind. I don't want to know that. And he was like, what do you mean? I don't want to know that you are stupid. What do you mean, cuz? Cuz, that doesn't make any sense. We had a very brief exchange about it. We left on good terms. He charged me 99 cents less for the thing that I went to buy than it was, you know, due. So we still family at the end of the day. But all those words to say, yeah, that is definitely something that I have been maneuvering through over the past week, especially that the first portion of it was people not really taking it serious. Even though thousands of people at that point had you know, RIP, was up out of here. What y'all think is happening to these people? And then there was that brief moment. It's still happening because a toxic ex of mine sent me the most Hotep video possible this morning about some, you know, Corona and Black people and being immune, et cetera. Like, despite the fact that whole Black people have already gone on to be with the Lord as a result of this. And so, so there's like been these waves of like, wait, and we believe this, wait, and this is happening, wait, and this is what we're saying. And more than anything, just kind of trying to mind my business. Because I don't really have a word for it yet. I don't really have like the, this what we gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
Dang. But also there is also the part of me that is just so always tickled by Black people. Kind of the stuff that we were talking about at the beginning of like the different, you know, memes and viral videos, whatever. And just the fact that Black people refuse to call it the coronavirus.
Miss Rona.
Roni. Corone.
Yeah. I don't know where that started. Like I actually don't know where that started. Because it, at least how I'm interpreting it, it's not a joke. Like, it's not, like, I don't, at least the people that I'm seeing doing it, I'm not seeing folks, like, make light of it. I'm seeing, like, how we call, like, this is what we do. And I'm not saying it's right or it's good or it's, you know, but we do take, like, we do take conditions and then we, like, like, we should not be calling diabetes the sugar. Mm-hmm. And like, that's how people talk about it. Like, and I wrestle with that because I'm like, well, I don't want to be so like, oh, it's a joke, we're making light of it, you know. I don't want to be so, I'm not there. But there's something about the way that like Black people invent new things. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, you could just call it what it's called. Mm-hmm. Like, but they're refusing. Mm-hmm. Like, saints. Mm-hmm. You cannot put on your, like, you know, if you go to the hospital, you cannot say the Rona.
You think?
Well, and then now, okay, so now I'm thinking about, like, how people refer to their genitals, too. Like, yeah, time and place.
Because I call my genitals all kinds of things. Most recently, I've just been calling it my situation. So I don't honestly, I feel two ways. I feel I'm tickled by the way that we just do what you want to do at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day too. The only thing that I do wish is that some of that playfulness is not just playfulness. Some of that playfulness is not taking it as serious as it is. And right. And again, I think that's one of the things that I can appreciate about you is I'm trying not to go down a list of all your ridiculous Twitter name.
I mean, what is it? Oh, right now it's Thicky Mouse.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So imagine Thicky Mouse in your timeline talking about, you know, praying for the bereaved. Being deep and introspective. And then also retweeting twerk, you know, videos.
Yep.
25 minutes later. So yep. So that, I'm saying that to say, like, that's one of the things that I've been able to appreciate about you is that there is the capacity to play and to, you know, be silly. And then also to, like, how do we trouble the moments when maybe we need to take it a little bit more serious? Yeah. And so I think that we can call it Caron. Every time I say Caron, it makes me think about that one video that's going viral of this person who's kind of purring, and they saying it's Maya Angelou talking about the coronavirus. It's like, I don't have Caron. It's just, I can't even do it, but it's like a purr. And I'm like, y'all just not going to do Sister Maya, my ancestor on that way, in that way. So yeah, but the another thing though is, I was thinking about, I've told this story before, but I remember right after Donald Trump got elected for president, the day, I was living in Berkeley at the time, and the Berkeley High School students did a walkout and marched to UC Berkeley's campus. UC Berkeley's campus, the center of the campus, every Wednesday since, from time, like Black Panther, you know, Oakland, they or Bay Area, they have, Black Student Union has held that space, and they will have like a cookout or information session, or it's always, you know, they're always right there, kind of, you know, rain, sleet, hail, or snow. It's every Wednesday. So it's the day after election. They, Berkeley High School students march out. And so a lot of Cal or UC Berkeley students are there as well. And, but you got BSU like, well, we're scheduled to be here. So I was going to a seminary, up the hill at the time as well. But a lot of these students were my classmates, cause I was also taking classes at UC Berkeley. And so I'm there with BSU. And I'm talking about, like, they were doing that. Remember when that freeze challenge was out where people were, like, frozen in a pose? So it was that. So they were doing that challenge to fuck Donald Trump. And then they went from that song to Kendrick Lamar, We Gonna Be All Right, to, I mean, like, just all the revolutionary, you know, millennial revolutionary songs that you could think about. Beyonce's Freedom, all the Johns. And, I get back to my school later that day, and I'm the only cisgender Black woman in full-time high residency there. I just felt triggered. I need to talk to my therapist about that. But they asked me, you know, can we ask you something? Sure. You know, just noticed that you were over there and just wondered your thoughts on, it's such a serious time, you know, why was Black Student Union still, you know, listening to music and, you know, and right next to that space, it was such a solemn experience. And I was like, two things. Number one, that's where they were on program. Y'all weren't on program. But number two, y'all don't know what to do in times of trouble. When in doubt, listen to the young Black creatives. I think that is my go-to. Even now, as a reasonably young woman, I still, there are some things that I'm interested in what my nephew thinks about, who's a 19-year-old. Because it's just so, because I grew up in the NAACP in a time when, and worked a lot with the Youth and College Division. And so I saw a lot of the struggle for power from, you know, intergenerationally. And one of the things that I learned just doing that work, so young especially, is that there were many of us that were still trying to honor the work of our elders, but still like kind of get them to see here is how things have changed. And so we need to be available for the fact that this might look a little different, even if we still have the same goal. And so even as someone who considers themselves in the know, I think my nephews are thinking about things just in a different way. Not all of it is good. A lot of it is not good. A lot of it, blah. But some of it is like, I just never thought of that.
Right.
And so, yes, I'm always like, the jokes and the ways that we play, and it's like I get it. I just wanted to I want to figure out the balance. Also, I live up the street from a hospital, so we're gonna hear some sirens more than once in this call. And that's just that on that.
Yeah. I mean I do think what has been helpful for me is to think about like if You know, so like when we, not we, when our government assassinated, I'm going to butcher his name and I don't want to do that. But when we engaged in a war crime, mm-hmm. and everyone was freaking out, like, oh, there's going to be a draft, there's going to be a war, there's going to be, you know, like, and this is like at the top of the year and everyone was freaking out. People started making jokes, okay. and I think they did so in a way that was really callous. Mm. Like they're, you know, so people were avoiding accountability by saying, well, Black people always joke. That's what we do to get through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you joke about your wound. Mm. You joke about your trauma. You don't joke about like somebody else's trauma or somebody else's wound or somebody else's danger, like, because that ain't your story. Like, it's not, you know. And we could also trouble this idea of what it means to laugh at trauma in general, because, you know, I'm the older I get and certainly like the more I'm moving in a professional world, like I am mindful about even the things that I retweet or things that I like, because, you know, people can see what you like on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop liking certain things.
What you was liking, girl?
You know, I text you. I'll tell you what I was liking. You know, I just...
Who's liking in these times?
You know, just things. And so, like, but people can see, I do think it's important for all of us, no matter like what our influence is, no matter what our position is, to be mindful about the digital footprint we have in the world. Mm-hmm. Not because you don't want to get dragged, but because you're trying to aspire to some sort of ethical or moral way of being, which is not to say like, you know, like I'm a person who I will retweet people shaking their ass. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you. Like, shake your ass. Like, I will retweet like certain things that folks will say, oh, I didn't know that you, like, you know, the scandalous whatever. But there are other things that I just don't want to be seen engaging, because it's just not, it's not right. And so, yeah, I'm wrestling in this moment, like, how much of, because quite frankly, I know in my own like circle, there is some, I am 2 degrees removed from someone who knows somebody who has passed from complications due to Corona. And so mm-hmm. I don't want to share stuff on my Facebook or my Twitter or my Instagram that would make light of that situation. Because mm-hmm. this is somebody's dad, somebody's mom, whatever. It's a human being. And so, yeah, I think the things that are funny to me are like the memes that are like, I can't tell if it's allergies or something else. Or you're like, is this a cough or is it a spicy cough? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's something that I have been, you know, I'm like, am I okay? Or is this allergies? And like the world stops for a few minutes and you're like, where's my thermometer? Like, have I drank enough water? Like, did I have my immunity supplement? Like, you know, you think about all those things. Like, and I think that's something that's relatable, because I'm like, ooh, yeah, I do that. But to the extent that I might, I think that's probably as far as I would go with a joke. Mm-hmm. And even that, I'm like, yeah, nah. Like, because mm-hmm. people all over, I mean, this is just one of those things where like,
yeah,
it's really getting to everybody. Mm-hmm. So whether you know somebody or not, it's happening to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Regarding like, public sharing things. I've always said that I'm not really worried about ever being canceled. Number one, because I'll be telling all my business. But number two, because when I'm trying to flesh out the inappropriate portion of it, that's usually in private. Like, I'm not it would be hard, I think, for somebody to scroll through my social media and find me saying something really inappropriate. I mean, well, you could find me saying something inappropriate, but something that was harmful to some other person, because I say all my really inappropriate things to my friends in group chat, and I let them tell me, sugar, don't say that publicly. Like, oh, okay, that's wrong. Okay, I'm glad I tested that out here first.
Right.
But yeah, I got that. In that same vein, then I'm interested in like what do you think are some of the ways that do feel healthier for us to maneuver through this time? Because for many of us, in California, for example, which is where a lot of my friends are, they're on lockdown, you know, ultimately. Everything is shut down. And very similarly in Georgia, I know in Atlanta, they've closed down pretty much anything that's not essential. And so Keisha, the mayor of Atlanta, her name is Keisha, so I appreciate that. But Keisha basically, and so I can't even call her by her whole name because I gotta call her Keisha. Keisha got on the news and basically was like, you know, I had to shut that down because I asked y'all to stop going and you wouldn't. So I shut that down too. So it's difficult, you know, it's definitely a difficult time because people don't know how to, that's not the way our system is set up. Our system isn't set up for us to sit down somewhere and chill. We are so used to doing something that we got, you know, so much idle time for so many of us. And it feels scary. And it feels, my mother screenshot me a cheap ticket from LaGuardia. Girl, I'm not coming to Charlotte to be quarantined with y'all. You know, I know the devil is a liar. But yeah, so, you know, it's scary times. And so yeah, what does it look like for us to experience, or some of the ways that we might be thinking about experiencing ease that doesn't have to make light of the fact that thousands of people have died? Because I hear you, certainly, like, you can't just be playing all the time. Every now and then, we gotta take something serious.
Okay.
Every now and then.
Well, in this last week, I will say this last week has felt more slow in terms of like moving about. So I know like the MTA shared a statistic that like ridership was like so down.
Wow.
Because, you know, they're like, they compared March 18th of this year to last year, and like ridership was like a third of what it was last year.
Thanks. And
so there are like people have been still, and I think what it's revealing to me is that people don't know how to shift into being still. And I think it's more than being still. It's also capitalism and the lie of capitalism that we are only as good as what we make and what we do, what we produce.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, you're seeing people who were in a gig economy or, you know, had the kind of job where, like, they can't work from home. Mm-hmm. Like preachers and public speakers and you know, other folks who now have to figure out, well, how am I going to make money?
Mm-hmm.
And so then the instinct is, well, let's just shift everything to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you have a lot of people who are trying to make this quick transition over into the digital world. And I don't, even as somebody who has a website that I like populate with my thoughts, like I don't have it this week. Like I'm still mourning a lot. Like I'm still grieving, actively grieving a lot. Like I started a teaching fellowship this semester at a divinity school, and I'm sad that I won't get to see my students like for the foreseeable future. Like, we didn't get to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm sad that the last time I was in church, like, is likely the last time I will see a lot of people who are there, because how else are we going to see each other in the flesh? You know, I can phone call, I can FaceTime, I mean, for some people, I could go stand outside their house and just yell until they wave at me from the window. But I think I'm worried that we're trying to preserve so much normalcy that we're actually not giving ourselves space to be human. So, you know, well, last week I was in the office, this week I'm gonna be in the office, but now I have my home office, so I can do the same, you know, like, it's just like this, I don't think we're being honest with the loss and the grief and the tragedy of certainly like a loss of routine, if you're lucky, but at the most serious, like, loss of life. Like, people are dying. People are on respirators. People are not well. People are losing family members, and they won't be able to bury them in a way that feels honest to their own tradition. Like, and then, you know, our healthcare system is already maxed, you know, and certain folks and certain people already get substandard care. So yeah, there's just so much loss happening all at once. And I want to sit with how sad I am, like how angry I am. 'Cause I'm like, we fucking told y'all, like we told y'all, like and when I say y'all, I mean like I feel like we have been sounding an alarm for years, for years. Like, my grandmother has sounded the alarm. Her grandmother has sounded the alarm. Like, we've been saying that this is not a sustainable model for years. So I think I want space to like be sad, and I don't want to feel pressure to like turn it into like a Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and there's just so much pressure. Like, there's so much content. I'm like, you know that scene from The Grinch where he's like, noise, noise, noise. It's like, that's how I feel. I'm like, yo, did anybody get in a prayer closet? Did anybody go to the altar? Did anybody, you know, because I feel like that's needed in these times. Like,
times. I think people don't know how to make that shift though, because exactly what you said, there is there is such an investment. We don't know our identities outside of doing something, period, all day long. I certainly have been doing healing work for the past year about that, about I don't know how to take a break, and I feel guilty, and because I am a part of that gig economy, you know, and I had just really grown to believe that if I wasn't working, then how we gonna pay this rent? How we gonna feed this dog? How we gonna on hoes? How are we gonna do that? Tell me how. And so really, you know, I don't think people even, it's like you would have to know that you can stop, that is an option to actually stop. And I think that's the case for a lot of people, is that it's not even we could stop for a minute. So you can't even think about all those other feelings and things that we really should be taking the time to experience and give ourselves permission to, because we got, for those in my age group, we got 30 plus, almost 40 years of seeing our parents and then us participating in this act of like, do something, do something, do something culture. And now the world has stopped. And the only time the world has ever stopped before was when Beyonce dropped, never mind. So the world has stopped, and now what are we supposed to do? We don't know what to do but to try to figure out. And so I think that I understand that frustration of like knowing how long you've been saying this isn't sustainable. I was having a conversation the other day with a mutual friend of ours, Jay Perry. And she, as someone who is constantly having conversations about chronic illness and disability, it's just talking about the type of anger that she's been experiencing, seeing how long she's been saying, how long other people in this particular community have been having conversations and begging and pleading, is it possible that this could be a work from home experience, or that we could spend less time doing ABCDFG? And then as soon as the able-bodied people are impacted by it, then all of a sudden, you know, there's this revelation that we could have been doing this all along. And the grief that you are experiencing when you know that, when it's like, it didn't have to get this far, because I told y'all that, you know, 10 years ago, I told y'all that 5 years ago. So yeah, I think it's those two things though. It's like, that's what I will certainly walk away from this conversation with. One of the highlights for me will definitely be for myself as well. Like, chill, for real, you know, like, don't, like, deal with this, you know, deal with the fact that we won't ever be the same after this, ever. We're not going back to business as usual, ever, never. It will never happen. And what that will look like, I don't know, but I know it won't look like what it was 2 weeks ago, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just, that's good. I just hadn't even thought about that for myself, about really giving myself full permission to grieve how our lives will never be the same. And some of that will be for good, but people have died. So there's no way that we can ever really reconcile that. Niggas didn't listen when, you know, organizers and educators and creatives have been saying for years, this ain't gonna work, y'all. This already isn't working for us.
Right.
It's certainly not sustainable, you know, right, for all people involved.
Right.
Whew.
Right. I mean, and so, like, some years ago, like, I was writing through this idea about, like, Black women as canaries in coal mines. And, like, I've seen other people talk about it, you know, since, and I don't think it's really an original idea. Like, I think, so, like, a canary, you know, like, before they had the technology to detect toxic gas, they would take a canary down into the mines, and then if the canary, like, was in distress, like, then, you know, the miners would say, oh, we need to leave, because if it's bad for the canary, then it's bad for us. And so I do feel like there are so many different kinds of canaries in this coal mine we call, like, the world, United States, the West, the world, like, whatever it is. I'm not selfish enough to imagine that it's just Black women, because it's different kinds of people who are vulnerable and made vulnerable in this coal mine. And to your point, like, I have always felt like the problem is the coal mine. It's not the canary, like, it's not anybody else. It's the system that's set up, it's poisonous, and it should not exist. You know what I mean? Like, and there are, like, we can spend all of our time exhausting vulnerable people and being like, oh, you know, like, kind of, you know how people do virtue signaling, and they're like, oh, listen to Black women, or, like, you know, they do this kind of, this gesturing, and I don't want that anymore. I don't want you to take me into your coal mine and put me in danger so that, you know, you can prove, see, it's really dangerous. I want you to fucking listen the first time. I want you to listen, and I want you to recognize that as a canary, we have delicate lungs and we're sensitive to the bullshit, and the bullshit should not happen. Like, it should not be here. So I'm just really wrestling with, like, you know, how do we, like you said, like, business as usual has been violent. Like, and I think that's the thing that I'm holding on to in this moment too, is that we have seen so many glimpses of heaven. We've seen so many glimpses of the way the world can be, like, the ways that many folks are being mindful about you know, the vulnerable in their neighborhoods, and like checking in on elders and checking in on those who can't leave the house as easily, and like mutual aid, and like so many other things that are happening now that, again, many of us have already been doing. Mm-hmm. Like this is part of what we do. So it's I'm hopeful that we never leave this part of it behind. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope we don't say when this is all over, because I do believe it will be over at some point. I just don't know what's left. Like, I hope when it's all over that we don't say, all right, well, the stock market can open up on Monday, and Jay-Z can continue to be the billionaire that he's always been, and, you know, and he can brag about it, and so can his wife, and, you know, like, I hope we never get there. Like, I hope we don't think that this is just a blip on a radar, and that we could just go back to, like, the thing that got us here, which is, like, we are so vulnerable, like, as a world, we're so vulnerable because the greed of a few. And, like, so, child, I also think when this is all over, like, the thing that keeps me here, for real, because, like, this is some shit, and I'm, like, losing my mind. The thing that keeps me here is imagining, like, what will happen afterwards.
Yeah.
So I am praying that Beyonce will give us the album of a lifetime. And I know that sounds contradictory to me, like, feeling a way about her wealth, but I'm just going to sit in it. I'm going to sit in it because I know the next album, the next tour, it's going to be so good.
The weariness.
It's going to be so good.
I feel like very similarly, I feel like the thing that does give me hope, even though, again, like I said, one of the things that I definitely walk away from this conversation with is that I hadn't prior to now given myself permission to fully grieve.
Hmm.
That my nigga, we out here. That we out here just took me back to right after Kobe died. I was talking to my sister, and she was like, I think you should stay off social media for a while because you sound like an atheist right now. I was like, girl, we just out here. We just out here. We just out here. She was like, baby, don't get on social media for a little bit, because I don't know if you're ready for the saints to know that you don't believe in nothing right now. But that's a podcast episode for another day. No, thinking about, you know, the best possible scenario has been really helpful for me in the times when I've been feeling very overwhelmed with, like, what are you doing? Because I'm certainly an introvert. So I am able to maneuver in space by myself. But the thing that I think a lot of people get invested in, like, toxic traits and the most toxic version of an idea. And introverted people don't just want to be by themselves all day long. That's not real. It's just not the way that humanity works. You cannot survive without the experience or the energy of other people. And so that's the thing that I'm very conscious of. I know that about myself. I enjoy being by myself, but it's not healthy for me to not be able to be in deep community with people. To be able to touch them, to be able to, you know, be, just experience their vibration. That's not healthy. And so as somebody that is a single woman isolated in this space by myself, you know, social distancing in this space by myself right now, I'm definitely mindful of, like, this can't go on for so long, because that's not, I can't just let all my interactions be this social experience. I have to be able to touch and be loved, and this is about to become a completely different podcast too, but yeah, I have to be able to experience. Wait a minute, one of your friends texted me earlier today and said, the thing that I'm most worried about is that I'll never have sex again.
Honey, the sadness on your face. Ooh, honey.
But having said that, I'm thinking the, like, what is the most beautiful version of what could come after this? And so, yeah, you know, definitely a fire Beyonce album. But also, maybe it's time for the, you know, for people to not just be singing on Instagram Live and, you know, posting those things, which entertain us. And I guess, you know, we need that entertainment in these times, but to be ready to, like, actually overthrow the government. And to, like, understand, I saw this thing earlier where this, one of the makers of the ventilators said that wealthy people have been reaching out to them asking if they could buy them for themselves. And it's like, if y'all ain't ready to eat the rich, like, what, if y'all not ready to, you know, divest yourselves of, like we just have such an investment in keeping rich people rich and not thinking about how that impacts us. And obviously, you know, that's what we've been taught, but this could be such a beautiful time of, like, revolution with ease. It feels like at this point it should be easy for us to just be like, this is what happened, because, like, this is what this got us. We can't go back to that, guys, because this could happen again in 5 years, and it would actually, like, it would be done. People couldn't survive this two times around. We barely surviving it today. And so, in my highest imagination of what could happen, is like, RIP capitalism. It's like, canceled student loans, debt. It's like, actually free healthcare and access to education, equal education for all people. It's like, my crush slides into my DMs.
These shoulders are a lot.
We gotta throw a little bit of the flesh in there every now and then. Huh, what'd you say? What did you want to talk about? Okay, I'm good.
You know what? I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, I think, you know, there's that, like, really woo-woo quote that's going around, like, and the people stayed home. I don't know if you've seen that, but, like, it's basically this long, you know, it's such a monument to, like,
a lot of, yeah,
mm-hmm. privilege and, like, mm-hmm. and just the class analysis. I'm like, wow, you really think people are just gonna stay home and read books? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I will read books, yes. Mm-hmm. I will read some books. That's how I will spend some of my time. But also, like, whew, like, some other stuff is gonna have to be unsettled in order for me to just be able to stay home and read books. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that this moment is showing us again that we're only as strong as the most vulnerable person in our world. And so if someone is unhoused, then hell yeah, we need to liberate some hotels and motels and some of these luxury condos in literally around the corner from my house that have nobody living in them.
Right here.
Yeah, because they can't sell in it. Like, they literally cannot rent them because nobody who wants to live in this neighborhood can live in that building. Like, I'm thinking of one building specifically, not specifically, specifically.
I got that.
I'm thinking of one building that has been vacant for years. Yeah. I remember when they put it up and there's nobody in there. Damn. So my hope is that, you know, as time moves on, that we realize that there were enough houses for everybody.
Always, that's happening in certain places, but I got you that what would it look like on a large scale for us to, I live in the hood. I don't live in a rap hood. I live in a real hood, girl. It's the real hood. Some days I be needing y'all to come get me. But one of the things that I got about this space is that I live in, that I love, is that I have to play my part as well. Like, I hate how loud it can be. I hate how much, you know, stuff can be sometimes. But like this street is literally the headquarters for a dirt bike gang. When I found that out, I was like, how did I do this to myself? And they've been meeting up here on this street for 17 years. So you know what I can't do? Even though I'll be wanting to sometimes. I can't call the police and make them go away, you know. I can't, this is, so, like, what is my role, my responsibility to making sure that if the empty spaces in my apartment need to get took, I want us to stay safe and clean here, but also that was empty for a long time. My best friend has been living in this particular apartment. She's not here now, I took over her lease, but my best friend has been living in this particular apartment for about 7 years. And nobody's lived in a couple of those spaces for the whole time. And so it's like, what is it for? And there are people, you know, who are houseless that live right here. You know, they're always there. And so what is my role? How do I stay safe as a single woman and also not be a part of the, you know, the problem of making it impossible for certain groups of people to have access? Because that to me is like the, it's like the role that we often play in capitalism, in keeping it alive, is that we invest in, like we think that we're going to be millionaires next week or billionaires in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. And so we want to, yeah, we hoard and we, you know, we don't do our part to be community or to, you know, what that looks like. And so then we become a part of the problem, even though we got 27 cents. You just got 27 cents, boo. You are like right there. And this crisis has shown us like how close you really were to like not having no money, because I'm missing out on a gang of money right now. A gang of money.
Beloved, it's Women's History Month. Okay, and every year during Women's History Month, people who forget us the other 11 months remember us. And now,
February and March.
Where is my coin? I just
not even just that though, Candace. It's you know how you know this. I know you know this. How hard it is to get niggas to pay their invoices. You know, to turn them invoices around. Anyways. So the month of March has made it very easy for people to act like they ain't in the office. Well, go, you in the office. Process that invoice. Process that
invoice. I'm waiting on 3 invoices.
I got 2 chilling in the wind right now.
And I'm like, saints.
Mm-hmm. Mine ain't the same.
You could just send it to my voice, to my PayPal. Just do that. That'd be great.
Whatever you want, whatever you need. I don't know. It's something about this shirt that's making me do this. Anything you want.
You know, shoulders.
Hey, I do it. Now. Okay, I'm done. Candace, I just always appreciate conversations with you. One thing that I will say, in my highest imagination for when this shifts, is that, girl, let me tell you that I caught myself talking about moving to Brooklyn recently. That's a change. Oh. That's very new. Yeah, I was talking about moving to Brooklyn very recently, and then this happened and it got me stuck here. I still live in Harlem, I don't live in Brooklyn. No, yeah, I would love to. I just realized that all of my favorite people live in Brooklyn. And I just need to stop trying to hold out. Or y'all can move to Harlem.
No. No. No, 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 no. Brooklyn is just, you know, we live a different life down here. Y'all in Harlem, y'all have a very, it's just, even y'all brunch culture is very different. Y'all are so bougie. Like, y'all just, Brooklyn is like, you know, round away girl, like very regular, degular, schmegular. Harlem is like, well, let me just put it this way. Brooklyn is a Delta.
Harlem is not an AK.
And Harlem is an AK.
What?
I'm just, I can say that as a Delta. Like, I can say, you know.
Who raised you? Put your mama on the phone right now.
You know,
just like, when I post about this episode, that's one of the quotes that I'm going to post.
Oh God, please don't. I'm gonna get
this with the whole episode. We done talked about all the things, but that's my highlight. Brooklyn is a Delta and Harlem is an AKA.
Well, girl, seriously, thank you for your time. Thank you for giving me this energy. Thank you for that shimmy. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for forcing us to think. Not forcing us, but causing us and so many times to think about the things that we didn't even know that we didn't even know. And you be helping us think about the stuff that we didn't even know we didn't even know. And I appreciate that. And to close this with, you know, my cousin Jay-Z did say this wisdom one time. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I knew that's where he was going.
Have a blessed day in the Lord. You want to get a benediction?
The benediction? Mm-hmm. The benediction is stay hydrated, stay present, stay dreaming, and let's just keep building.
Mm-hmm.
Building the world that is to come.
Amen. I love you too much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Casually Brilliant, a Zooms with Friends masterclass podcast series with Ebony Janice. A new episode drops every Wednesday at thefreepeopleproject.com. Just click on the Casually Brilliant tab and get ready to be casually brilliant with me. Until next time. To support my work, you can subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/EbonyJanice. Subscribers at the $50 or more level get access to all content plus enrollment in my BGM Institute courses on Beyonce and African Spirit Justice and my course on Hip Hop as Liberation Theology. Plus, I have more courses being added in the coming months. Each course is an 8 to 10 week curriculum with a video lecture and all supplemental materials are provided. Again, you can visit patreon.com/EbonyJanice to subscribe. This is a huge beneficial way of supporting my work.